Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Ben Kercheval from CBSSports.com, college football writer, joins us on the bench to talk a little college football. How you doing, Ben?
I'm good. How are you?
Cool, man. So what did you think of Josh Rosen's comments today about, look, football and school don't go together. They just don't. Trying to do both is like trying to do two full-time jobs. There are guys who have no business being in school. They're trying to get to the NFL, et cetera, et cetera. Talking about SAT scores, everything else. What did you think? Do you think he woke anybody up?
I don't think he woke anyone up, because at this point, how you feel about the NCAA machine, you're probably set on your side of the fence anyway. So I don't think he necessarily woke anyone up. What I do like about Rosen is that I think in athletics, especially in college athletics, where the idea that you exchange, you know, the scholarship for, you know, going into and playing and for your school and getting education, that it's some sort of this equal exchange. And we're really at this point now where it's become abundantly clear that for some of these players, not all of them, but for some of these players, someone like Josh Rosen, it's not quite a fair exchange. And so it's having athletes who are outspoken about that. I love it. I mean, I read the interview today. That was from Matt Hayes at Bleacher Report. I did a great job. I thought Matt asked some really good questions, some really challenging questions. And I think Rosen gives his honest opinion, which is refreshing for one. And I don't think we can slaughter him for having his opinion. And then second of all, I do think that because he's so thoughtful about it, he's not just bashing the NCAA. I mean, he's got pretty salient points. That it actually opens up the discussion a little bit more on a nuanced level. So is he changing anyone's minds? No. But is he keeping the conversation moving forward about an athlete and their voice within this operation? And I think he absolutely is.
Do you think Ben Kercheval with us from CBSSports.com, do you remember a time when, like, because I do, when they said he was going to be the greatest college quarterback ever? Like, that's what, when he came in there, remember everybody said, this guy is going to be the greatest college quarterback we've ever seen. Do you remember that?
He was, I don't know about ever seen. I remember there was a lot of hype about him. I know he was called the Rosen one.
Right.
You know, on his first year. So, yeah, I remember, you know, just, and, you know, he had a really good freshman year as well, too. And, but, you know, man, you have an injury. He was injured last year and didn't finish the season, and then all of a sudden a USC quarterback comes storming in. It's sort of amazing how quickly we almost forget about Josh Rosen.
Right. Well, he's this number seven draft prospect. So to me, it's a little funny that he's talking about how corrupt it is, but he's about ready to go get paid himself. So he's doing the exact same thing he says is essentially what's so bad. What's so bad is college football so bad, and it's a pathway to the NFL. That's exactly what he's about to do.
Well, so it's who benefits from what in the NCAA is not necessarily a cut and dry thing. If you're Josh Rosen, who I don't know how much market value he would have for his own name. I mean, he's pretty big on social media, and he's, you know, he says a lot of stuff. So I'd imagine that there's a demand for, you know, him as a brand. I mean, I'm sure for him, this situation of being an NCAA student athlete where you're not getting any necessarily additional compensation for your name, image, likeness, maybe beyond a couple of checks from the NCAA football days, if he still even applies that, I think it's a little bit it's unfair for him, for the third string offensive lineman who doesn't really have a market value. I still wouldn't say it's totally fair, but I think that, you know, there's a little bit, the school's paying more for him, right, than he would ever, you know, make for the school. So I think it just kind of depends on who you're talking about here. But I think Rosen's larger point today about academics and athletics is that, you know, you're asked to do a lot. We're asked to basically do two things. And for some guys, it's really hard for them just to even do one. And the commentary that I added to it was that the high schools aren't doing a very good job of preparing their students for college today anyway. So a lot of these guys are behind the eight ball to start off with. So I just, again, I think it's the larger conversation about fitting academics into all this, I think it's worth talking about it for sure.
Do you, Ben Kercheval with us from CBSSports.com, do you feel, because I've been frustrated last night on the show about the Ed Orgeron and Herman and these guys, Brian Kelly, that don't allow the media basically to breathe at their practices. I mean, they're down to not being allowed to breathe. The media is not allowed to do anything. And I'm of the ilk that they should just stop covering those teams altogether. Don't go. Don't give them publicity. Don't cover them. Don't write about them. Don't talk about them. If they don't want anybody to ever see anything or talk about anything or you're not allowed to do anything, why the hell should they cover them?
Well, that's a good question. I think because so many schools now produce their own in-house content. You know, there's a guy, Zach Ellis, who does it for Vanderbilt, and he used to be at Sports Illustrated, and you know, he and I talk from time to time, and he loves moving over to that sector of it because it's more guaranteed than what, you know, the industry has right now for journalists. And you know, I have a couple other friends who do the same thing. So that in-house marketing stuff and content, if you can just, you know, push that out yourself and get stuff on social media that goes viral, you know, you've sent across the message. So I get it. I don't like it. I don't like having practices completely closed off. I think you're doing a player a disservice.
Right.
You're not teaching them to talk to the media. I think you're doing them a disservice for things that they're eventually going to have to encounter. But at the same time, with, you know, wanting to protect what you have and send out the message the way that you want to send it out, I understand it. I just don't agree with it.
I don't agree with it either. I think Saban, I've said this, is a phony, because when he needs votes to get into the playoff or the BCS title game or to be when he needs something, he's the nicest guy in the world to media. The rest of the year, he hopes all of you drop dead. He can't stand you. Do you feel handcuffed as a college football reporter in this day and age covering the sport with the amount of difficulty there is in doing your job?
First of all, remember, you know, how Saban thanks the media every year at SEC Media Days? That's like always my favorite thing, is he's like so nice about it, and he gets perpetually angrier as the year goes along. And it's funny too, because Ed Orgeron, he's a big media guy when he needs the LSU job, then he starts shutting it down the moment he's got it. And it's how much has he really learned from that time at Ole Miss? As for me doing my job, it's not super difficult. It just kind of, I think there's always been SIDs that they never get back to you. Access is always difficult, whether you're a national, whether you're a beat reporter. I mean, I've encountered that, you know, as long as I've been doing this. So I don't think I've seen this overall giant seismic change on my end, but it's tough when you don't give access to your players who are great. You know, sometimes they're great people. They have great stories. You want to tell those stories. So then at the end of the year, when you were getting all the promotions for, you know, All-Americans and things like that, it's like, well, if we had access to these guys earlier in the year, probably would have been able to tell the story a little bit better.
So let me ask you a question. I want to talk more college football. Can you do another segment, or do you got to run?
No, let's do it.
That's all fine. Right, let's do another one, because I do want to ask you more questions. I want to talk bad about some other coaches, too, while I'm at it. And we'll do it with Ben here in a second. Ben Kercheval with CBSSports.com. I want to ask him about the Bama-Florida State game and many others. The first weeks of college football are fantastic. I think every week in college football is fantastic. And I don't care what any of those coaches say. And I think he should do attack pieces on their programs to see how they like that. I think that would be fun to drum up some. Just do, you know, they won't let you have access, so bash them anyway. Do some nasty pieces on them. See if you get any attention. I bet you will. We're talking to Ben Kercheval about college football. He's with CBSSports.com. So Ben, the great opener with Alabama and Florida State in that new Mercedes Stadium in Atlanta, that should be awesome football game. On paper, it looks delicious. You know, we've thought that the last few years, though. Like last year, that USC game with Alabama was a disaster. But I don't really see that happening to this Florida State team. I don't think Alabama can beat them and pummel them like they did USC.
See, the interesting matchup for me is Alabama's defensive line and front seven, which is still awesome, even though it lost so many guys to the NFL. That D-line is ridiculous. And they're going to go up against Florida State, who over the past year or so has been kind of a worse off pass-blocking team than run-blocking. And they're going to be breaking in, I think, like three or four new starters along that O-line. So I think Alabama actually has that matchup edge right there on that defensive side of the ball. I think what I'm probably most interested in from Alabama's point of view is, what does Jalen Hurts look like? I mean, he was the freshman of the year in the SEC, offensive player of the year in the SEC a year ago. But if you watch him toward the end of the season, I think he really kind of regressed as a passer and he get better. He just was very reliant on his legs. And so I want to see what kind of step he's taken forward in year two. Tua Tagovailoa is already getting a lot of hype as the backup quarterback for Alabama, which I think says a lot about him. So Alabama is going to be restocked, but, you know, Florida State, they've kind of been building slowly and slowly. Jimbo's recruiting at a really great level. I think if that offensive line gives DeAndre Francois protection, I think you're talking about an outstanding quarterback battle.
Wow, I agree with you. So on the other side of, you know, that, while I'm talking about USC, this kid, Darnold, are you surprised at the attention he's getting, not only at USC, but that he's going to be the number one draft pick and they've already got him playing for the Jets? I mean, it's just, to me, it's unbelievable. Where did that come from?
Came from the fact that he's a quarterback for USC who threw a pivotal touchdown pass in the Rose Bowl. I mean, that's where the lore comes in, right? As USC goes off and wins, what was it, like eight or nine games in a row to end last season, including the Rose Bowl against Penn State, who probably could have been in the playoff. And so right away, you just getting the winning streak is huge. I think when you look around Darnold, this is a really talented football team for USC. So I think the reason why he's getting the hype, obviously, he fits the label, he fits the mold. He did have a tremendous year last season. I think people were really impressed with his poise under pressure, something you're not necessarily used to seeing from a redshirt freshman. And then when you look around Darnold at the skill that they have returning, I think a lot of people feel that he has all the weapons he needs to make a run through that Pac-12 conference and then championship game, maybe against Washington or Stanford or somebody like that. So playoff-bound team, potentially. I do think that they're certainly headed in the right direction. I didn't have a lot of faith in Clay Helton when he started the season, but, you know, I think he's proven a lot of people wrong.
So the bowl games, the playoff will be the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl, and then the championship is going to be in Atlanta at that same Mercedes-Benz Stadium again this year. Is that where it's going to be?
I believe so, yes.
Wow. So when you look at the guy at LSU, Orgeron, who's been getting a lot of attention, can he live up to the hype he's getting? Because I'm not sure I'm buying that.
Well, there are a couple of things that I need to prove. First of all, is that you don't have to just be this elite-level coach like a Nick Saban or an Urban Meyer to win a lot of football games. I think you have to be a tremendous recruiter, which he is, and you can be at LSU. I think you need to have really great coordinators, which he has at LSU. He brought in Todd Orlando this year as that new offensive coordinator. So he's got the talent already there. I think he has the right schemes in place, but you need to be able to learn that you figure out how to manage your roster, which he's been okay on an acting scale, but he hasn't really done successfully as a full-time head coach. And obviously this is his first time really getting that chance since Ole Miss, from which he was fired. And then on top of that, he needs to get better quarterback play. It's almost, of all of the things in college football that render me speechless, the fact that LSU doesn't have a good quarterback and hasn't really had one since Matt Flynn in 2007, I think, is just pretty incredible. So you're right next to Texas. You're in a talent-rich state like Louisiana. You need to be able to get a quarterback to at least just balance out that rushing attack. That's what's keeping them from consistently competing for the SEC title game.
Do you think Ben Kercheval with us from CBSSports.com talking college football on CBS Sports Radio, do you think Malik Zaire is going to get that starting gig in Gainesville?
From what I kind of have always been told is you don't bring someone in like Malik Zaire unless you feel like they're going to start. I've wondered if Zaire was really starting material at a lot of Power 5 schools, whether it's Florida or Notre Dame. I do think he gives the Gators some depth. I think you let it rip with Felipe Franks if he's ready, but you can't just thrust someone like him into action before he is. So I think Zaire starts out. I think eventually this becomes Felipe Franks.
How do you think Lane Kiffin's going to do in Boca Raton?
I think he's going to do great, and he's going to have like the Alabama job in 2 years. I don't know how he does it, but Lane Kiffin seems to fall up in a way that no one else absolutely can. He's getting a lot of transfers to come in to FAU. He'll get some JUCO kids. He'll get some projects and some guys, they're really great football, but they've had some off the field issues. So he'll get some of that. He'll probably win, and I think he'll parlay it for another job. I was sort of half joking about Alabama, but I do think he eventually gets back in the Power Five if he's shown that, he's kind of matured a little bit as a football coach.
So how do you think I think Mark Richt's been doing some great recruiting at Miami, and I thought they had a good season last year. I'm a huge Canes fan. How's year two going to go for him? Even better?
Well, if you get your quarterback situation figured out, then yeah, I think you're right pretty much where you left off, because they have a really scary defense coming back. Like, I really love that group. It's probably the closest I've seen to getting back some of that U attitude that you had, and then I feel like was lost a little bit. So love what they have coming back defensively. They have some really good – there's a really good wide receiver they have. I think he's going to be a sophomore this year. Freshman last year, and I can't remember his name, and it's terrible because it's live radio, but I just remember watching him going like, okay, he's going to be like that next freak wide receiver for them. So I love what they have coming back. Just need to see if they get their quarterback situation figured out. But if they can do that, I think they get their first divisional title since moving to the ACC.
So let me ask you, Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, I think it certainly going to help him that he's got Baker Mayfield as his quarterback. I think that kid's going to make that guy look really good. Now, he's already been a really good assistant coach, so there's no denying that he can coach. But the head gig at Oklahoma and Norman, believe me, if he loses a game or two, they're going to be on him like a bad weather system. What do you think Baker Mayfield will do for him? Do you think they have a shot at the playoff? Because they're loaded.
They are loaded. They lose a lot of offensive production around Mayfield. Like, D.D. Westbrook's gone, Joe Mixon's gone, Samaje Perine's gone, and I don't remember the exact percentage, but I want to say it was somewhere in the neighborhood of like 2/3 of their offensive production that they now have to replace. So obviously it's Oklahoma. They have a lot of guys ready to step up in that role, especially running back, a lot of unproven but really talented guys. But overall, Oklahoma, I'm not quite sure they're a playoff caliber team, just because I think they have a lot to replace along their defensive front. Again, on offense, Baker Mayfield's great. You already know what you're going to get with him. I don't think he brings anything now that he didn't bring, really, even as a freshman at Texas Tech back in 2013. So are they a team ready to win? Yeah. And do I think Lincoln Riley's going to win in his first year? Yeah, one thing to keep in mind is that his contract is fully guaranteed, and that says a lot about Oklahoma's faith in him. What happens in, I think it's the third week of the season when they go to Columbus, play Ohio State, that's not going to dictate long-term, I think, what Oklahoma feels about him. They wanted to give him time, during the summer to get that first recruiting class going. They think long-term he's their guy. So whatever learning curve you have to go through as far as being a head coach and learning the transition, I think they're willing to go through that with him.
So, Ben Kirchival, do you think Oklahoma State's going to be as good as everybody's talking about, that they're going to be this incredible offense, perhaps the best in college football? Are you buying that?
I'm buying that their offense can be, yeah. They have all the right pieces. They have quarterback, they have the wide receiver. People don't know who James Washington is by this point. They need to learn quickly, because he's just absolutely unbelievable down the field. And then they have the running back, Justice Hill, who I think he could be a household name maybe by the end of the year. He was their first 1,000-yard rusher, I want to say, in a few seasons. And that was really the missing component for their offense, is You know, they never really had a reliable running back. They had J.W. Walsh kind of come in and be a running option for a couple of years, but that was never really the long-term sustainable goal. So they have all the pieces on offense. I wonder defensively how well they're going to do. I have probably more concerns about that holding them back from being a top four team nationally. Their best player along the defensive line, Vincent Taylor, he's gone to the NFL. So if they're going to win games in the Big 12, it has to be with offense. And then defensively, you just got to worry about winning other categories. They're really big on red zone stops, really big on takeaways. It's not always about how many yards do you keep a team to, or sometimes even points. It's what are the other categories that you're winning. So that's what it takes to play winning defense in the Big 12.
Hey, great stuff tonight, Ben. I got all fired up talking college football with you. We covered a lot. Thanks so much for coming on CBS Sports Radio. Enjoy the first week of college football. I'll be in Vegas for it that week of August 28th, a bunch of games Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Enjoy the season. We'll get you back on.
All right, appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.